A strong biblical foundation is the baseline for Christian growth. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to build on principles from God's Word.
We may suffer much for the Lord's sake, but our response is not to be the world's response, striking, picketing, writing mean letters. There are so many today that are involved in hate speech and lashing out. All of these people that talk about tolerance, 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 boy, can they be some mean bloggers. There's very little moderation on the internet.
Spiritual discipline sounds great in theory, but putting it into practice takes time and determination. In our series, Building Below the Baseline, Pastor Chappell illustrates the importance of building the part of life that no one else sees, but God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our churches and homes today need Christians willing to build their lives on eternal truth rather than worldly trends. Our series today is designed to give us practical lessons that will help us pursue a life marked by biblical wisdom. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Building Our Thoughts.
The Bible says, be careful for nothing. The word means anxious. Be anxious for nothing. It's the root from which we find the word anxiety. And oftentimes we can be so full of care for such a period of time that anxiety can overwhelm us to the point now we're completely out of production. Now we can't be involved at all because we have not given our cares. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There are many things that we are attentive to. There are many things every day of my life for the church, the school, the Bible college, for the membership, for the funerals, for the weddings, for the care, for the visitation. Many, many things every day. But the fact of the matter is that the life of a servant, the work of a servant, is never completely done. There always be things to do. And we must come to that place of saying, Lord, today I've done my best. And now I give it to you. My daughter Danielle gave me a little sign a few years ago, and she said, Dad, put this by your bed, on your bedstand. And it said this, it said, give it to the Lord and go to sleep. That's what the sign says. Give it to the Lord and go to sleep. Don't you hate it when your kids are even more spiritual than you? It just frustrates me. Give it to the Lord and go to sleep, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, it's an interesting word here. Be careful for, what does that next word say? And this is what it means. Not even one thing. Be careful for not even one thing. Now that's hard, isn't it? But that's where God wants us to live. Yeah, but what if? But what about? You know, oftentimes the thing that we think, boy, I hope that doesn't happen. When it does, God does something that was even better than we thought. God can do that. That's the way he works. You see, oftentimes it is the illusion of control that develops anxiety. When we get the idea of thinking that we can keep everything going, we can keep all the plates twisted just right, and just juggling everything, well, I've got this down. And when we live in that illusion, we're going to always be worried about dropping the plate. It's much better to just say, I can't do all of this. The psalmist said, in Psalm 56 and verse 3. And I want you to listen to this verse. Psalm 56, 3. What time I was afraid, I will trust in thee. I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid. I'll tell you why that blessed my heart many years ago. It blessed my heart that the psalmist said sometimes he was afraid. Now somebody might sit here and I go, well, I'm not afraid. And it's usually someone that's, 22 and, they know more than their parents and everybody. When there's a lump in your neck or your back and the doctors say we're not sure what it is, but we're going to do a test, you'll understand better. When there's a pink slip and you lost your job, you'll understand better. When there's someone you love that walks out of your life, you'll get it. You'll understand better. David said, at what time I am afraid. In other words, I just read that and I said, David, thanks for telling us that you got afraid, because sometimes we all get afraid. But he said, when I feel that coming into my life, then he said, I will trust in thee. I will trust in thee. You see, worry is a mental state that you actively or passively accept. It's something that's below the baseline. It's something that can create stress fractures. That's why they call them stress fractures. And no one else knows what you're even thinking about or worried about. No one else really can see it except you see it. And it's something that if you accept actively or passively, it begins to crack and hurt you below the baseline. That's why worry is a sin that must be repented of if we're going to be able to have the victory, if we're going to be able to have the thought life that God wants us to have. That's why years ago, the little phrase, turn every care into a prayer, became a blessing in my life. Turn every care into a prayer. Let's say that together. Turn every care into a prayer. Every care into a prayer. Some of you have heard of Henry Ironsides, and you're aware of the Dallas Theological Seminary. When Henry Ironsides was involved with the seminary, it ran into major financial difficulties. And they needed $10,000 in order to keep the seminary open. And the administration and some of the teachers began to pray. And one day during a prayer meeting, he prayed, Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You own the wealth in every mine. Lord, would you please sell some of those cattle to help us meet this present need? Shortly after that, there was a check that came in the mail for $10,000. The man said that the Lord had laid it on his heart, and the check came from a cattle ranching company, and the bookkeeper said, the Lord sold some of those cattle just like you prayed. He turned every care into a prayer. I remember the first 7 years of our Bible college when we started it, every year meeting with the deacons. We're going to need a line of credit to get through the summer. Every year having to step out and just pray for miracles. I remember starting the Walther Center with just a portion of the funds available. But every one of these cares, we just keep giving it to the Lord in prayer, giving it to the Lord in prayer. And God will supply our need according to His what? Riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The confidence of prayer. And then I want you to see also the constancy of prayer. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now here we see the words in everything. God wants us constantly below the baseline to be bringing prayers to Him. He wants us constantly to be giving the burden to Him. And the amazing thing about living with stress and worry is you really don't know the effect it's happening until the shaking comes. Does it ever interest you at all when earthquakes hit certain cities and countries? Why is it that this building stood firm and the one right next door fell apart? And you'll find that oftentimes there were different issues with the stress over the years and different things below the baseline that would never have been revealed until the shaking came. And so it is in our life. We want in everything to bring these things to the Lord, these needs to the Lord. And notice the content of our prayers, the word in verse 6. It says, by prayer, that is addressing God, and supplication, that is asking God, and of course, thanksgiving, making our requests, that is our petitions, bringing them to the Lord. Now, I hope you have a prayer list tonight. I hope you have a list upon which you write out things that you're asking God to do. If I didn't have lists, I wouldn't get anything done in my life. Everything I do comes from a list. I have a list of sermons that by the grace of God, I'll preach all the way until December. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Lists and texts. And I have a list of people that I'd like to see saved and list. And I have a prayer list of all of our church members in my office for prayer purposes. And I have project lists for all different types of ministries. But the fact of the matter is that I must also maintain prayer lists. And I have 3 major prayer lists that I bring before the Lord. And the word there in verse number 6, let your requests, that's your list. And I don't know what all you have, but make sure you have a list. and make sure that they're brought before the Lord each and every day. So the confidence of prayer is clearly seen that we can come and be careful for nothing. And the constancy of prayer is that we are to come with everything. And the content of prayer is given. And then fourthly, the consequence of prayer. When you, below the baseline, when you have this prayerful conversation with God, when you lay aside the care and turn it into a prayer, all of the sudden, there comes a consequence into your life. And it's the opposite of anxiety. Notice what it says in verse 7. And, this is as a result of that prayer, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the peace of God, we have peace with God when we're saved. Watch this. Positionally, before you're saved, you are at enmity with God, the Bible says. But after you're saved, you have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God, positionally. But this doesn't say peace with God. This says the peace of God. And the peace of God is something that you can have daily in your life when you turn every care into a prayer. And God can give you peace. And what we have to do is just put our trust in the Lord, the peace of God. And notice what it says about the peace of God. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts. Now that's a military term, the word keep, and it means this, to guard your heart. So it means that below the baseline, though there's a bunch of stuff going on outwardly, and man, the company's restructuring, and boy, we don't know what's going to happen with, you know, gas prices, and we don't know what's going to happen with this situation and the contract and whether it's going to come and all of that, still, you are kept. There's something securing you. It's the peace of God that you know in your heart. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Let's turn there for just a moment. Isaiah 26, 3. A wonderful verse in the Bible. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee, right? Now, so oftentimes people get so frustrated and oftentimes flying off the handle. But it's often an indication of what's below the baseline. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth, what? Pew, speaks. But the Bible says, thou wilt keep him. That's the word keep. It's like this word that we find here in verse 7. That he will keep your hearts. Here it says, thou wilt keep him. You're guarded. God will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You see, if I'm having that constant awareness of the greatness of God, if I'm letting my moderation be known because God's here, then there is a confidence that comes into my life. And it's not self-confidence, and it's not the power of positive thinking. It's confidence in the fact that God is here and God is in control. Fanny Crosby was blinded as an infant when a doctor prescribed for her illness of eyes the wrong medicine. Despite that trial, Fanny Crosby avoided bitterness, and as many of you know, she became a prolific hymn writer. One of the most well-known hymns of Fanny Crosby is this hymn, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, in which you'll find this line, Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell, for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Amen. Right? So here's a woman who lost her eyesight to a doctor who mistreated her, and she's writing this song, and I know whate'er befall me, he, God, doeth all things well. This is the woman that has below the baseline a real walk with God. And so God speaks to us about having positive thoughts. He tells us, rejoice in the Lord. And he speaks to us about having prayerful thoughts. And he challenges us with this fact. Keep your hearts and minds through this prayer process. And then notice thirdly, as we close tonight, he wants us to have pure thoughts. He wants us to maintain pure thoughts below the baseline. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things. And he comes into this list. And I want just to briefly look at this list tonight. First, notice the description of pure thoughts. Pure thoughts. We come first to the word true. And if you're taking notes, it means true in character. And God's word says that we're to think on those things that are true. So many times we think on the what ifs, things that aren't even in reality yet. I get so tickled with people that worry about global warming. I'm not a scientific expert on the environment in that sense of the word, but I'm an expert in this much, that God's in control. And other people that worry so much about war and this and that and all the rest of it. Now, all those things are bad, but the fact of the matter is that we're to focus on the things that we know to be true right now. And the fact is that we must come to that place of being true in our thoughts, whatsoever things are true. And then he says honest, things that are honorable. A lot of times people meditate, especially in today's environment, with respect to the internet, on things that are absolutely not true and absolutely not honest. Years ago, I just completely stopped even trying to deal with slander or untruths that have even been said about me or this ministry by people who've never even met us. But the fact of the matter is, there are people that are out there that, whether it's a ministry or whether it's a company or whether it's just their opinion about something, that their thoughts are not true, nor are they honest. And you're going to have that from time to time. And the fact of the matter is, God says, I want you to think on things that are true, honest. Thirdly, I want you to think on things that are just. Just, righteous, things that are pleasing to the Lord. Fourthly, he says things that are lovely, things that are lovely. That means pleasing, acceptable, amiable. He says, think about things that are uplifting. You know, say, I heard this about so-and-so. You know what you ought to do in that case? Pray for them. We ought never to rejoice and meditate. That's why I don't think it's ever a wise thing for someone to share all the details of their past sin life. You don't need to know all that. It's too much information. You don't need to constantly think on those types of things that aren't lovely. If someone says to you, well, we had some problems in our past, don't be one of these Christians like, oh, really? What kind of problems? Oh yeah, I remember back when we used to drop LSD, and I remember back when we went to the Led Zeppelin, and all of a sudden you're telling somebody something that's putting a thought in their mind, and all of a sudden it's just really not a pure thought process at all. It's creating more of a problem sometimes. You say, well, we had some marital problems before we came to this church. Nobody in this church needs to know about it unless it's maybe a pastoral staff member because you're getting some counsel or something, but you don't need to constantly be thinking and talking about things that aren't lovely and that aren't pure. Often when Terry will counsel with a young lady about her life and her future for the Lord, she'll remind her of that. You don't need to tell everything to your friends in the singles department that you ever once did. You don't need to constantly think about it. You know what my Bible says? What sin are you talking about? It's as far as the east is from the west. If God's covered it, why do we keep bringing it up? Don't ruin your future by living in the past. So think on things that are true and honest. And again, there's so much today that's just out there that's just angry ranting that people want to make about other people and about other situations. So things that are true and honest and just, and things that are lovely. And then he gives this, things that are of a good report. I don't know about you, but from my vantage point, there's not enough good news in the world today. Every single thing. I mean, and I want to be informed. I've got some news apps, and I guess I appreciate that. But I mean, everything, every day is always bad news. And you know what? We've got some good news. It's called the gospel. We ought to talk about that. We've got some good news. Hey, did you know some people got saved this morning? It's a blessing, and there are still some good things that are happening. This is what God says. I want you to have pure thoughts. And again, I think of the acrostic, think before you speak. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it inspiring? Right? Well, I just don't know about that they did. Does it really have to be said? The fact that you don't know? Maybe there is something else that you don't know to it. Maybe it's good to wait. Think, all right? And that's what he tells us here. Look at verse 8. He says, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, then say the last four words, please. Amen. There's that word, think. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary that you say that? Is it kind that you say that? Think on these things, okay? And God wants us to have the development of pure thoughts, the description and then the development. He said, here's how you develop it. Here's how you maintain these thoughts below the baseline. You think, you meditate on these things. Get a hold of some things that are good. Hey, how about this? God's given you salvation. He's given you a place to live. He's given you the blessing of being here tonight. And here's what I find. I look right here. You can have 98% blessings, and if you're not careful, you'll think only of the 2% problems. That's human nature, isn't it? It's human nature to complain when it's windy, but not to be glad when it's nice. And we need to think on the things that are a blessing. Think on these things. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, how many thoughts? Below the baseline, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Lord, do you want me to think that? Is that pleasing to you? Bringing every thought into captivity. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why I challenge you to do your best to avoid negative, frivolous speaking people. People that constantly their thoughts are not edifying or encouraging. In fact, the Bible commands us that our speech is to be to that which is to the use of edification, building someone else up. And how do you develop that? Notice as we close in verse 4. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise. If there's something good that you can say, say it. All right? You say, are you saying we can't say anything negative? If it needs to be said, it needs to be said in a loving, kind, spirit-led way, in a constructive manner. But the Bible commands us that we're to be looking for things that are virtuous and we're to develop approved thoughts. Notice the word there, praise. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Thoughts of praise are thoughts that are approved by God's criteria, thoughts that bring honor to Him. Now, when it comes to your mind, your thoughts are either thoughts that are being renewed or reduced. There's either the renewing of your mind or the reducing of your mind.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we're offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled Paid in Full. It's yours when you make a donation to this ministry. Visit paulchappell.com to find out more. With your gift of just $10 a month, you can become a partner in the Word to help continue spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world.
Hi, my name is Paul Chappell. I'm the pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church here in Lancaster, California. As I have studied Hebrews chapter 11, and as I have studied church history over the years, I have been amazed by the sacrifices of men and women who have been willing to come outside the camp and take their stand in order that we might have the faith today. That's why I've written a new book entitled Outsiders. I believe that we need to be stirred again by the stories of these who were willing to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been said the men and women who changed the world are the men and women the world could not change. If you'd like to know more about these outsiders, you can do so by visiting strivingtogether.com. I believe it will challenge you and encourage you to take your stand in this generation. I hope you pick up a copy at strivingtogether.com. Outsiders, let's stand for Jesus Christ.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today.
Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.